smells funny.
Okay. Well, let's continue our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I think, getting back in the swing of things, let me just kind of give it a little bit of feedback here. I kind of wrote up a little introduction here. As we study this letter of Paul to the Corinthians, we see that it has it's very relevant to us today because, you know, it's one thing to study doctrine and theology, but remember your system has to determine your behavior system. If what we believe about, you know, God, who we are in Christ Jesus and so forth, doesn't take on some kind of shoe leather, then it's just a bunch of talk. So Paul really is dealing with some very pertinent, relevant issues. Now in chapter 4, Paul warns the Corinthians as well as about sitting in judgment of other people, and especially their motives. In other words, they're sitting in judgment. What are their motives? What do I do? Oh, thank you. A cup of coffee, too. Thanks. And the trouble is, you know, sometimes people still do play that little game called spiritual evaluation. You know, we sort of sit, we sort of spiritually evaluate one another, and a lot of little, you know, we start playing games. And Paul warns them, says, look, God's judgment will come and condemn you. So, you know, don't go there. Now, we're dealing with judgment, and then we get into chapters 5 and 6, and all of a sudden Paul is saying that you need to be judging or sitting and looking at some moral issues that are going on. And so that creates a little bit of we're saying, wait a minute, you're talking out of two sides of your mouth. Well, not really. But as you go on into chapters 5 and 6, you find Paul telling the church that they need to sit in judgment of an immoral man in their midst. Now, on the surface, it seems like a contradiction, but it's not when you take into consideration a very important distinction. You see, there are some things which we as Christians have no right to judge. And that's spiritual evaluation. We've got to be really careful of that. We're not competent to judge another person's motives or what their intents are, nor their ministry. Now, we can see some of the fruits of certain things, but just because it's not according to our expectation, that doesn't mean you got to sit in judgment. Because that person sits under God's judgment. He's accountable to the Lord. But there are areas in chapters 5 and 6, Paul talks about sin. God has made us responsible to make sure that we as the believers recognize who we are in Christ Jesus, that sin is not to be a common thing in our lives. We have to deal with those things. Now, it's not just sin in terms of a moral failure here or there. It's if this becomes a style, if this really is a part of the way you begin to live your life. You know, the sin we're to judge are things which Scripture clearly identifies as sin. There's idolatry, there's adultery, there's even homosexuality, which, you know, we're really concerned about today, thievery, drunkenness. And God clearly has announced his judgment on these items. Now he expects the church to agree with his judgment, okay? It's not as though we're sitting in judgment. We're just saying God has already declared. Now, this, Paul addresses a person who had habitually was practicing a sin. And, you know, like I said, we all sin. We all have moral failures. But when a person habitually continues in sin and disregards his commitment to Christ's Lordship, then we as a church have a responsibility. We have to be able to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I love you, brother, but, you know, we got to talk about this. And so that's what Paul was dealing with, you know, in chapter 6. And then all of a sudden, he brings another aspect of it in chapter that was 5, now it's 6. Paul considered it shameful for believers to take issues between fellow believers before a secular court. Now, this again is a practical thing, but we've also got to take a good hard look at it as to, you know, how do we deal with that? Because as I shared with you 2 weeks ago, that's not an easy issue either. Because sometimes we get into some, you know, some things that, you know, can really be quite disruptive. So, Let's start at the second page, top of the page. I think we asked this question already, but top of the page, my question was, why is it wrong for believers to sue another believer? Now, let's just talk that for a minute. Why was it wrong?
That just doesn't reflect the mind and love of Jesus.
Okay. There's something there that, you know, that you don't recognize the common life that we have in Christ.
But very complex.
Yeah.
Very complex issue.
Very, very, very complex issue. What else? Any other thoughts you may have on that? Yeah, Rich?
Well, we're to have the mind of Christ.
Okay.
And we're to look at issues in that context.
Right.
We should be able to go within our body, as you talked about.
Yes.
And talk these things out before they escalate or back to that.
Yeah. In other words, we ought to be able to do some of these things within the church context before we, you know, launch off into court. Go ahead.
As a member of the family of God, the body of Christ, we should be willing to be wrong and act in a very forgiving way.
Okay.
That's extremely hard because
all right.
But there are times, and it shows the growth in our lives and what Christ
right.
is doing in our lives through that process.
It does, doesn't it? It kind of lets you know where you are. Okay, Brad.
The world's supposed to see how real Jesus is because of the love we have for one another.
Okay.
If we're in court suing each other, then that's a terrible testimony of who Christ is.
Right.
So
okay.
It's back to, hey, if you're a Christian and you supposedly are following Christ and you guys are suing each other acting that way, I don't want anything to do with it. So.
Okay. That's good. Roll.
Yeah, and just thought maybe it's sort of been said too that we ought to have a spirit of reconciliation with one another so that, you know, there's not a winner, there's not a loser, but we get this thing settled without the angst.
Okay. All right, this is something to think about. Go ahead.
Yeah, as Jesus said, you know, forgive as I've forgiven you.
Okay.
And that tone of even giving your tunic. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, the text here seems to be that we're learning how to judge correctly.
Okay.
And so, for the previous was, you know, if somebody's in habitual sin, in the case of a legal matter, I don't know that you could call that sin.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily a matter that would be necessarily something that would be, you know, it would be a more of a subjective judgment, a personal judgment, not necessarily a corporate.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
That's good to think about. Now, go ahead. Yes.
It's like that. Guy that went to the king that owed him all the money, and then he got released from his debt, and he went after his friend and said,
That's right. Okay. Now, having said what we've said, what makes this thing difficult? I mean, I'm going to come to you, and that's good because let's lay the cards on the table because, you know, when you study this, you know, objectively, and you're not emotionally involved in this, you know, it's very logical. And then all of a sudden, the reality hits when something actually happens in your life. You know, now you struggle, Andy.
You know, there's definitely a theme here to try to settle within the church.
Okay.
The church itself. So, I mean, here is obvious. I mean, it's like, I say this to shame you, you know.
Yes.
Are you appointing judges who are non-believers to
right.
judge
yep.
us? You know,
okay, right.
What's complex, though, is that our church is so fragmented. Because now we have different denominations, different
right.
churches. So, sure, if we had a dispute between people within the ministry,
right.
it's easy. You know, we can go to this scene
yes.
in this group. And ask for, you know, resolution.
Yes.
What if it's somebody from a different area, you know?
Right.
More than
right.
Who's going to mediate?
Yeah.
We see it in one church.
Right.
So how do we reconcile that?
Okay.
I mean, ideally, yes.
Right.
Under the body of Christ, we're all brothers.
Yeah.
But ideally, that not going to, you know, be possible? What would be the answer to that?
Good question. You know, Bobby's got the answer.
No. No. No, I go there. Okay. What gets me is when we sue somebody or one another, what do? We involve lawyers. You involve somebody else's thinking, somebody else's thought process, and how we're going to handle this, how we're going to come up with a solution. So now you've got these other people that have Satan that can easily get into their mind, get into their hearts, and you're suing somebody for more than what you really want, more than what is really justifiable. Because of the way the society has done this, you have to sue for three times as much and then settle for what you should get. That's what the Lord doesn't want happening. He wants us to decide and to come with a reason and understanding and settle.
I think there are some things, you know, you have to look at. You realize that cases that you would take, say, to a civil court would probably be best, first of all, addressed, say, within a church context. Civil court. Now, if you're going to deal with something much bigger than that, I think, you know, then it gets out of the sphere of actual, you know, understanding and knowledge of their certain, you know, laws and all, a lot of stuff that's involved. I think that's where you have to be a little bit more, you know, discerning. As I have had my own experience with this, and I shared with you last time as well, but where you have to begin. Now, even though, Andy, you're correct in saying, hey, it can get really big, I would say at least give it a try. You know, how can we work with something like this? But one thing I've really learned, if you have to put the people, both sides, on the same playing field. In other words, remember my little formula, the four H's. It's got to start with the heart. You've got to start with the person and say, you know, if are you a believer? Do you understand what that means? That you're under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You accept that? I mean, is this where we are together? Do you love the Lord? You realize it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And, you know, if that has to be a starting point, then, you know, then comes the head. What is your understanding now? What does this mean? That you now and me, that we are no longer our own. In fact, all that we own belongs to Him. Now we got to deal with where this pride issue comes in. Because what happens with a lot of this kind of stuff is, you know, it's pride and it's also what you've done to me. I've been humiliated or I've been mistreated, and it's about I. So you have to kind of lay that kind of a groundwork. And then you can start dealing with, okay, what are these habits? What are the issues now? What have we done? Well, maybe there was sold someone a car, and, you know, after he ran it, he drove it for about, you know, 3 weeks, and the whole thing fell apart. Now he's mad at me because I sold him that old 56 Ford pickup truck. What a piece of junk, you know. And I want my money back. And
yeah,
you know,
it's pretty.
Hey, no comments. It's pretty. Okay, very good. But
it didn't fall apart, but it's pretty.
That's right. But you see what begins to happen now? You feel, hey, this, I've been cheated, I've been da 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 da. And sometimes, you know, the seller then says, oh, wait a minute, you had every opportunity. You know, you bought the thing, you could, you know, check it out with a mechanic, do it, and now, you know, and so now you can look at it and say, okay, we need some help kind of bring this thing together. But with this understanding, who am I in Christ? What is my understanding? Now let's look at the issue itself. And then you begin to look at handles. What then ought we to do? And then kind of drawing some people in can be a real blessing. Because remember something, when you're dealing with this kind of an issue, you're not dealing just with trying to have a fair judgment. You're also dealing with a relationship. Relationships. And that's where, you know, it gets really sticky. Lawyers are not good, they're not concerned about your the relationship. They don't couldn't care less. All they want to make sure you've got the paycheck coming in to pay for their issues. But go ahead, Jeff.
To rightly discern what the application of this should be, shouldn't we know what that context of the law was in that day? I mean, was that Rome or was that?
It was Corinth.
Corinth, so Greek
yeah.
law.
It was a Roman law.
Roman law.
Yeah.
So it's part of Rome. And
yeah.
Were people like being thrown to the lions?
No.
If they took them to court?
No. That had nothing to do with that at all. But I think with that little bit of back, let's just kind of walk our way through some of these questions then. So now question B, in verse 2, what alternative does Paul offer then? What does he say? Look at verse 2.
The saints will judge the world.
Okay. No, the saints will judge the world. And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? So these are trivial cases. This is a civil court type of stuff, not the, capital type crimes where, and there's been swindling going on. And this, it's much more of a trivial kind of issue. So, this is how it. Do you have a comment?
Just thinking about it myself here, I would much rather be judged or bringing my problem to a group of people like this that are like-minded. And feel a lot more comfortable about what they decided.
Okay.
Than people who outside it is making money.
Okay. See now that's because there is a relational element here. What Andy brings up is, what if the other party is a member of another church?
If we're all in the same body.
Well, yes, we know that, but sometimes what happens is, there's attitudes. It's the only way I can say it. Bobby?
Yeah, maybe I'm off line here, but I just want to, because it's not suing, but in family court, it's just discussion between two adults, and they go get lawyers.
I know.
To do this. I mean, she's supposed to be a Christian, I'm supposed to be a Christian, it's about the children, and I can't even say one word to her.
Yeah.
And so, we're not using the word sue, but you know what? We're not talking to each other. She's in a different church.
Sure.
And that church has a different idea of what's going on.
Sure.
This church has a different idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody really knows the whole story but her and I.
Yeah.
And we can't, I pray about it every day.
Sure.
So, it's not just suing. That is more deeper than suing somebody involving children's minds and their well-being.
See, now, with all that, this is where the hard part comes in. See, this is where the hard part comes in. Because a part of our calling as believers is, Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, what does he have to do? Deny himself, take up the cross. Okay? And that's the hard part.
So all I can do with my wife, is we pray every day that the Lord will touch that family's hearts and change their hearts.
Exactly right.
The Lord is supposed to be in their hearts.
Exactly right.
And that's all we can do.
That's basically all you can do. And the willingness to be able to take up the cross in following Jesus. Now, that's the painful part, because we say, Lord, I thought you were in this. I mean, what? You zap that person. And been there, done that. I know that. So that becomes a very painful experience. But what we also have to remember is that when God says no, or he says slow, or he says grow, that means there has to be patience on our part. We say, Lord, I don't know what all is going on here, but I do know this. You called me to be a godly man.
I can write you a book on patience.
Okay. See? I'll patiently wait for that book. No. But the thing is, this is what's so, so difficult at times, that we don't always know what God is doing. For instance, now, in all of this, there could be hostility and anger on the part of, say, the ex-wife. And the children are very much, you know, influenced by this. A godly man has to be on this side, and for the, you know, it may take a while for girls to be able to see, wait a minute, you know, there's a love here that mom doesn't give at all, and a patience, and, you know, that doesn't mean that you just, you know, never do anything.
It's not my place to point my finger.
Right.
It's the Lord's place to show in time what is right, what is wrong.
Yeah.
And girls will take that.
And that's sort of the dilemma that we.
I brought it up because
I think it's
because you were talking about
exactly
civil court.
Exactly right.
People.
Exactly right.
I spent a lot of time in family court, and I'll tell you, gentlemen, it is ugly.
It is ugly. I know it is.
It is nothing but a pitch session.
Yeah.
And whoever can do it better,
yes,
walks out of there with a smile.
Well, and that's the sad thing, you see, and yet at the same time,
and the kids are in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I got to say one other comment. Someone that really, how could I say this, was a tremendous example to me. But you know, Alma Hallworth. This is Don Hallworth's wife. Prior to her marrying Don, she was in a very abusive relationship and a very difficult thing. And that little pint-sized dynamite was something else when it came in the court. I mean, I don't know how she did it. I'm not even sure she had a lawyer. But that little gal, with a godly, you know, presentation of whatever, and she won her case. Well, she had a lawyer, okay. That's what, well, yeah, she did. Yeah, the advocate is the Lord Jesus. Like that. But it was an amazing thing how, you know, God just really, you know, touched that judge, and that was a, you know, I had a lot of issues. I don't want to get into it, but you know, go ahead, John.
I don't think that a family court matter is a trivial matter. It's not what
it's. No, it's not.
Right?
It's not a matter.
That's not. It's a very,
very
matter. Very. I don't think that's the context here, right? This is talking about trivial.
Well,
civil thing.
Yeah, right. But at the same time, keeping in mind that now, say, if you know you and your wife have gotten divorced, now you do need to come back and say, you know something, I still have responsibility for the children. We need to talk about this. How can we do this, you know, without tearing everybody apart and so on and so forth? How can we do this as Christians? That's the ideal, and I think that ought to at least be attempted. So
the courts always explain to you that you're only here because you want to be here. You're not here because the courts aren't the ones that are supposed to make decisions to try and settle things. The courts are there so that you can have a controlled atmosphere, discuss things, and make decisions to settle things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will document it. But you start getting lawyers involved, and the other person starts making allegations that are lies.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you're in a room, pit pen, only God knows when it's going to stop.
It's tough. Okay, Andy?
Judges.
You know, it's interesting, though. You know, this passage really emphasizes that we just hold ourselves, that if we are accountable to the Lord, we wouldn't need to go to. Because here in Matthew 7, it's, you know, the very fact that you have losses among ourselves, you have a complete deal already. And he goes on to say that instead, you, us, yourselves,
yes,
cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers.
Yes.
So if we all are not cheaters and are not liars, we wouldn't need to. We could sit down and say, okay, this is the God thing
right
to do. This is the fair thing to do.
Yes.
I owe you money.
Right.
I really can't afford it. Would you be willing to take, you know, maybe say 5%
right
now or half now,
yes,
and I would promise to pay you back,
yes,
over the next 2 years.
Yes.
Done deal.
Oh, yeah.
That's the idea.
Oh, that would be the honorable
so
thing.
So
that's right.
Like, you know, body,
right,
God commandment.
Yes.
Talking about.
That's right.
To you,
yeah,
and, but you can only hold yourself accountable because you can't hold other people accountable.
I know.
And that's what this is to say.
Yeah.
We have to hold ourselves on this.
You see why now it's so important that when you say a level of playing field, that's both level for both sides. It's because what's so important is that it's not the law out here, it's Christ in here. And, you know, that's what we would hope for. So, yes, go ahead. Yes.
I was going to say, as far as trivial cases go, I think it comes down to discernment as well. But I think over time we've just become such a desensitized society.
Absolutely.
In these matters.
Absolutely.
If you're repeating that, like Jack probably has to pay an enormous amount of money in insurance to protect himself.
Right.
And his companies,
right.
And he bets someone claims to slip and fall.
Yes.
Because not everybody's hearts are in the right.
That's right.
And I know if I were to slip and fall in the restaurant, I would just get free food, rest of mine.
That's right.
It's right. All free for a slip and fall after World Fair, right? But yes. Tuesday scrumptious salad days.
Go ahead, Jack.
But watch the television set.
Oh, yes.
And I happen to be in TV advertising. A large portion of our advertisers are tort litigation attorneys.
Oh, boy.
It's amazing.
Litigation attorneys. That's right.
And the amount of money that they generate from it just goes to show you where we as a society are.
You're right.
So
you're really right. A litigating society.
I'm off the promissory note. Let's say I'll
Very good. Okay, a couple comments. I've got to keep going. Go ahead.
In today's time, they've introduced not many years ago mediation and arbitration as a way to do this.
Right.
And that sort of honors the political aspect as well as the function part. I have a business arbitrator mediator, and you can be very successful with that.
Right. And I think that is a. That's really should be the first place where we start. Howard, you want to make one other comment?
As you pointed out, the very central thing is as Christians or believers.
Yes. Yes.
And since, in a general way, we are having difficulty, we're not finding many Christians and believers.
Yes.
We can't find solutions.
Yeah.
Because it harks back to the ecclesiastical courts of centuries ago.
Yes.
And I think they were created for that very reason. To
yes.
try and have faith-based solutions
yes.
to difficulties.
Right.
But our difficulty here is that we don't start off by saying, well, are you a Christian?
Right.
We don't start there.
No, we don't. We don't. And I think that is really what the challenge is here for us, you see. That is the challenge. And and how that works out is something else.
Has the church ever been involved in a court case?
Who said yes?
Carl.
I can't think of it though.
I don't remember us being involved.
Okay, maybe we can. I thought it was I thought it was over that issue we had at Mason.
No, it was never a court case. Okay, one case. We were on Vallejo, and at that point we had not yet purchased this property, and we were planning to expand our whole church campus there on that Vallejo campus. We had expanded, we purchased another 8 acres. We had 15 acres there in all, so we thought that was quite adequate. So the property to the north of where our little red building was, it was just a gullies and just a real, not very nice property at all. Well, we kept thinking, how are we going to get this nice and level and, you know, put school buildings and everything? And so we took out a dirt permit, so to speak, a dumping permit, and hoping maybe some people would, you know, dig a hole for a swimming pool. They want to contribute the dirt to us. And as it turned out, lo and behold, Caltrans decides to expand Highway 79 into a six-lane road. It was just a two-lane road. And they went through the records and they saw, oh my goodness, that church has got property there where we could dump our dirt. We could come right off the freeway and dump the dirt, and we'd run the trucks back. Fantastic. So they come to us and say, may we give you dirt? Well, I don't know. So then, you know, we said, yeah, you know, will you pack it, you know, all this kind of stuff. They said, yes. Well, the Los Rancheros Homeowners Association got wind of this, and they took us to court. They wanted to stop it. They said, no way, this is an underhanded way for this church trying to continue in their building program, and we got to snip it right there at the bud. Well, when we got to the court, there was a lady judge, and she looked at the whole thing, and she says, what is this? I mean, what is this lawsuit against us? I said, this is ridiculous. They're not applying for a building permit. They're just saying they want to dump the dirt there. And so they threw the whole case out because they had no basis on which to sue us. So if that be the only lawsuit that I was aware of.
Process of trying to...
That would not be, that would qualify for this.
No, okay.
No, not at all. That, you know, go ahead, John.
It seems like there's a real divide, and it's a practical divide, and the divide is solving problems within the church body.
There you go.
Two believers can get together.
There you go.
But you go outside of that.
Yes.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't. And, you know, I think that's where you have to begin to look at. Now you're in a whole different league. See, that's why I said civil cases where you're dealing with more trivial matters and taking that to court. See? Go ahead, Gary.
I'd like to add something to what the gentleman over there said.
John. That's John. John, this is Gary.
I fully understand what John said about keeping it in the body of the church.
Right.
I sense that if you take that out of your body, which I consider this my body,
right,
take it to another Christian church, there is resentment between Christian churches in our valley that take that information and start doing some not so neat things.
Okay.
Gossip.
All right. Unless, now, we've done this before where... I've had some situations where, but we as pastors have gotten together to share a lot of things and pray over things, which I've been so appreciative of over the last umpteen years. But what's been beautiful about it is that, you know, well, I remember there was one situation where we had some struggles with a particular member and another member of Valley Christian. And I got together with John Stanley, and we got these two people together, but with John Stanley and myself, worked through some of those issues. But it depends, again, now on the pastor and the leadership. And then there was another issue where a similar type of thing, where accusations were taking place, and then this person was a member of another church, got that church involved, but we pastors got together. But that's the key to it. See, if all of a sudden the pastors can't have a harmonious relationship in Christ, well, you know, then you're going to have some problems. Yeah. Okay, quickie here. I got Brad over here.
I was just going to say real quick on the in Galatians chapter 5 and 6, it talks about being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
And not the flesh. In
right.
Galatians chapter 5. In verse 15 or 18, it says, "But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law."
Yes.
Because believers are supposed to be led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, there's unity in the body, and you will work out the differences outside of court. Verse simple, God lays that very simply. He says, "Hey, you're called to be led by the Spirit, but if you're led by the flesh, that leads to destruction."
Exactly right.
And that's what happens if you're not led by the Spirit.
That's right. But you see how important that growing in maturity as a Christian, how important that really is. See. And understanding what that means. And, you know, this is why we keep challenging, you know, all of us. Keep growing. Grow in the Lord. So you understand that there is this struggle between me in terms of my the Holy Spirit working in me and my feeling, you know, what I feel, my fleshly things. And we have to learn that. See, and that's a growth process.
Just real quickly. You take all this too and you reverse it, and then staying true to Jesus within the various religions, like if you're in a group that says, okay, we're approving gay pastors, okay, we're approving, you know, I mean, those are complex issues that you face within the denominations. Boy, those get tough.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do.
I mean, you've been on a lot of these calendars.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's right. And, you know, and that's where I say, wait a minute now. Now, you know, there's certain areas here that you have to be very, very, very careful.
We did have one situation in our church a number of years ago that we kept within the church. It turned out to be somebody had an affair with somebody and it was a staff member. And it could have turned into a really ugly divorce and a mess. But this individual came to Pastor Steve and said what had happened, and although he was released from the staff, he was willing to go through this whole process. He actually stood up in front of services and confessed to the whole congregation what he had done.
Right.
And he and his wife went through an arbitration. What was it called? Not arbitration. It was a
mediation. No, I know the word for it.
Well, they
can't remember either.
Yeah. Married couples.
Right.
Four or five families got
together
every week for almost a year.
Yep.
To work through that situation.
Right.
And that marriage today is stronger than ever.
Fantastic.
And it just turned out unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Ron
really,
really
is.
Really, really sour had he not come to the church.
Right.
The church stepped in and said, here we go.
Right. And there again, that's what a challenge it is for us as believers, that we've got to learn that we just don't go around shooting our wounded either. You know, and that's such a reputation of so many churches. You know, we just shoot the wounded. Get them out of here, man. They failed. You know, well, wait a minute.
Don't know my demon. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. I resent that remark. I mean, you know. Sheesh. But you're right. You know, and that's the sad part of it. We've got to remember, we are a redemptive society. We are a society that seeks for reconciliation. And what is the grace of God all about if we don't put shoe leather to it? So God means also forgiveness, you know. Now, again, sometimes, you know, there's forgiveness, but sometimes the consequences of that just doesn't play. But we've got to be able to walk with each other in the midst of it, see? Hans, I'm sorry.
What Richard mentioned that case, I mean, we have been around and we have seen a lot of things happen
sure.
in churches, but we were really pleased how beautiful this thing was handled from the church side.
Very good. All right. Praise the Lord. That's all we can say. Now, you know, I'm going to. You guys are responsible for whatever answers you have from B to E, and the rest of this thing, because I want to pick it up again, section number 3. Okay.
2.
I'm going 3. You're responsible for 2 as well. Okay. But. Because what I think is neat about this is that Paul, you know, he's saying, look how many times he says in chapter 6, do you not know, look at verse 2, do you not know the saints will judge the world? Then look at verse 3, do you not know that we will judge angels? And then he launches here into verse 9, and this is the part I want to pick up again for next time. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, blah, 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 all the way down. And then he says, verse 11, I love this, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so when you think about, you know, in judgment, well, yeah, we do have to look at immorality. We do have to look at certain issues. But it comes back down to what we've just been talking about. We are also a redemptive society. Just because people have sinned doesn't mean that we put up big walls and say, I'm sorry, don't you see the sign here? Sinners allowed. I love the sermon that Scott had here just a couple weeks ago, you know, with the signs on the church door. That's not the sign that we have there. We say, basically, you know, we say, Lord, grace people, you know, God's grace. And so I want us to really focus on that one. Pattern your pursuits after purity. So let's take a good look at that for next time, okay? All right, let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much just for this time of discussion. And we realize, Lord, that to really live out what you have, what you've called us to live. Sometimes we do struggle with it, but Lord, teach us that we are to learn what it is to let your Holy Spirit guide and direct us. It's not just about our feelings, Lord. It's about who you, it's now who we are in Christ Jesus. And we realize, Lord, that you have now indwelled us. Life is no longer of me. I've been crucified with Christ. And help us to understand what that life really is all about. That we learn what it is to get the big eye out of the way, the eye of the storm. And the gracious God, we understand there's a cross here. That cross is Christ. And with that cross means we deny ourselves, take up the cross, and then, Lord, we follow you. So, Lord, help us to courage with that. And even in the midst of our disappointments and hurts and our pain, that we'd have the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and we are his. So, gracious God, that we can go forth in strength and power and with a great deal of confidence and assurance. Thank you, Lord. We pray your blessing on each of us as we continue in the remainder of this week. Bless us for our worship tonight, tomorrow, and giving you thanks in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Bless you, brothers.